This morning's reading can be found on page 1065, and it is John chapter 3, starting at the first verse. 1065. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Please keep that open, as we have a look at it together. And as Carol's been saying, this week has been those real lives events in town, which passage in John 3, and we pray for God's help as we come to his word. Father God, we pray that you give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts and wills to believe and obey your good news for us. Amen. A new start. A clean start. I wonder if you've, or how often you have ever felt you'd quite like that, to reverse the clock, to go back before whatever it was that happened, and to start again. I don't know, embarrassing situations that you might know of. My friend at university, early days, saw a couple of his new housemates, they were in a sharing house together in Cardiff, walking down the road, and they were each holding one handle of a shopping bag. And he thought, oh, this is a bit cute, already sharing a shopping bag together. So he dashed up to them, grabbed their bag, and ran off a few steps, laughing at them. And as he turned, his jeers got a bit quieter as he realised he didn't recognise these two people that he was looking at, and he had just nicked their shopping. So he returned it and ran off. He would have wanted a new start there. Situations where you want to rewind the clock, or maybe more seriously, the day at work or in a new situation when you did something that will always be remembered for all the wrong reasons. Family tensions which you can't get past. That relationship spoilt by words blurted out, accidental pain caused, And now there's a joy and a trust that can never quite be got back. That thing you did, the website you kept spending time on, the mean thing you said, or the stupid failure which you hope your loved ones never found out. Cher, the pop singer, sang, "If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those words that hurt you and you'd stay. I don't know why I did the things I did. I don't know why I said the things I said. Love's like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they wound sometimes. I didn't really mean to hurt you. I didn't want to see you go. But I was too strong to tell you I was sorry. Too proud to tell you I was wrong." It's true for all of us, isn't it? There are ways we could all do with a new start, a clean slate, even by our own standards. If we start to think about a God who knows us inside and out, who sees our thoughts and desires as well as our words and deeds, well, I for one, we definitely need a new start. And God offers a new start. In the Bible, there are different descriptions of the new start God offers. In 1 Peter, it's called a new birth into a living hope. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." In Ephesians and Colossians, it talks about having been dead and now being alive. However it is described, this new start, this fresh beginning, is described pretty dramatically. And in our passage, Jesus talks about this new start and calls it being born again. You can't get a more complete new start than that, can you? Starting again, a new birth. And as we know, at times a new start would feel an attractive thing to have, but as it turns out, it is vital. The story is told of the corner of Hyde Park, where people would sometimes kind of be preaching and declaring things. There was once a man there, and he kept turning to people and saying, "You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again." After a while of this, a woman sidled up to him and said, "Oh, why do you keep saying this? Why do you keep saying the same things?" He says, "Well, because you must be born again." Jesus says, "You must be born again." And he tells us three things about being born again in our passage. The heading's actually there in your service sheets. You must be born again to enter God's kingdom. You must be born again by God's Spirit. And you must be born again through trusting in Jesus. So briefly take each of these in turn. First of all, you must be born again to enter God's kingdom. This is the first three verses of our reading. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was of the Jewish ruling council of the Sanhedrin. This is the highest national body in Israel. He was a proud man. But he comes to Jesus at night, nervous of others, away from the crowds, hiding his intentions. And he says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And he's right. He says, "Rabbi, teacher." It's a title and an honor, and it's striking because he is the respected Jewish teacher speaking to a younger man starting out. But he's seen signs. He's seen the miracles that Jesus performed. He's seen God at work. And many people today are in that position. Jesus from Nazareth is a well-attested historical person. Many, most people like what he says and does. But Nicodemus is not quite there. There's more to Jesus than being a godly teacher. So Jesus starts from where Nicodemus is. He says, you think I'm a teacher? Well, hear this teaching then. To see, to experience the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Actually, Jesus says it negatively for clarity. He says, no one, unless you are without being born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Jesus makes clear that everyone has this need, all people. You must all be born again to enter God's kingdom. Now remember, Nicodemus is religiously high up. He's doing all the right things. And he must be born again. Jesus is saying all. Whoever you are, me, you, us, we all must be born again to enter God's kingdom. Does that sound outrageous? Does that sound slightly rude? We need to understand the nature of sin. Saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your commands. It's not necessarily direct rule-breaking, but rejecting God's. God describes it as adultery, turning away and breaking a relationship of love, turning from our loving Father to other things and other priorities. Think about the man who has been cheated on. His wife has gone on and gone off and slept and partnered up with someone else, and then she comes back. Can he just take his wife back and carry on as if nothing happened? Will he not feel anything? Of course not. What would that mean if he could carry on? Would it mean that he felt nothing about his wife? But his passion for her means that he's heartbroken. There's a strong feeling there. And it's the same for God when we reject him. But the good news of the Christian faith, the good news that God tells us, that he loves us and he wants to forgive us and bring us back. He loves us all. Or even though we need a new start, all people, the vicar and the paedophile, the charity worker and the cheating banker, me, you, all people, and we all need a new start. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus continues, you must be born again. You must be born again by God's Spirit. This is verse 4-8 of our passage. I don't know if you've been present to the birth of a baby. You can probably imagine it. Maybe you've seen it on TV. The mother puts in a lot of effort. In fact, from my experience, she lets you know how much effort she's putting in. But she's putting a lot of effort in. The father's there as well, probably. Maybe getting his hand crushed. Maybe trying to do all kind of the rubbing and helping along the way. What does the baby put into it? There's no effort there, is there? The baby just arrives. It's born. And that's the picture that Jesus is using here. Being born again is by God's effort, not ours. Nicodemus asks, how can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. It's quite a graphic question, isn't it? How can they be born again? Jesus says, verse 5, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Again, Jesus used the negative. No one, unless you are. He's stressing the sinfulness and the need of everyone. But what does Jesus mean about water and the Spirit? Well, in the Old Testament, several hundred years earlier, God had spoken to his people through a prophet called Ezekiel. He said, I will bring you back. I will bring you out of new nations. I'll give you a new start. And I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. You see, the water and the spirit were given a cleansing and a new start and a new power to follow God. Being born of water and spirit is the same event, the same rebirth, a cleaning from the past, and power for the future. Jesus goes on, he talks about the wind. Do you remember in that reading? You can see it by its effect. The wind is real. Spiritual birth is real. And neither of them are controlled by man. This is not new. This is all the way from the Old Testament, this need for a new birth. Stop being surprised, Jesus says. You need a spiritual rebirth to be born again by God's Spirit. It's God's power. So it's something that we receive. Spiritual rebirth, the new start, is God's work, his miracle of salvation. If you follow Jesus now, this reminds us to be thankful for what God has done in us. He worked for you. He melted your heart. He convicted you. He called you to himself and gave you that new start. And it leads us to a prayerfulness for others because we know it's God's work, not ours or theirs. In John 1, we read this of Jesus, all the way back at the beginning of the Gospel. It says, to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How? Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And it is the work of God by his Spirit in your heart, something to receive, to become the children of God. And finally, you must be born again by trusting in God's Son, verse 9 to 15. With Nicodemus, we might ask, well, how, Jesus, does this happen? Well, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen. Jesus is witnessing to some truth for us to see and know. And the danger then is choosing not to accept Jesus' testimony. Nicodemus is feeling the struggle to understand. He believed heavenly truths, but hold on to earthly realities. Actually, we see Nicodemus later on in John's Gospel. In chapter 7, he risks his position for Jesus. By chapter 19, he's sorting out the burial of Jesus. But here in chapter 3, he falls short. He's trying to keep one foot in God's kingdom and one foot holding on to the world. He wants to still reject God's ways, but hold on to God's ways. And that, of course, is impossible. Here he is, Jesus, here from heaven. He reveals God's saving truth. He's the only one to descend and ascend from heaven. Jesus says, look at me, believe in me for your new birth. And then he tells this strange story. I don't know if you spotted it, about the kind of raising of the bronze snake. Well, what's going on there? Well, again, it's another Old Testament story. It's back in Numbers. The people of Israel have been dramatically rescued out of Egypt. We've had kind of the dramatic plagues and then the crossing of the Red Sea, and they're following Moses, but they grow impatient. And they speak against God, and they say, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. People came to Moses and said, we sinned, we're sorry. Speak to the Lord. Pray that he'll take the snakes from us. God says to Moses, make a snake, put it up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the snake, the bronze snake, they lived. Now it's a strange episode in the history of God's people when they rebelled against their God, and there's consequences. God tells Moses how to make a model snake so that when anyone trusts and looks to it, they would be safe. And he says this Old Testament story helps you to understand what Jesus is going to do. He's going to be lifted up, so that everyone who looks to him and believes will be safe, will be born again and have eternal life in him. Jesus said actually that he must be lifted up. He was talking about his crucifixion, which was to come. We see that the snakes are not random. They're sent by God as judgment on his people. How we accept or reject God has consequences. And not trusting the raised bronze snake meant that they died by the snakes. Trusting in the lifted, crucified Messiah means being safe and receiving eternal life. Trusting in Jesus and his death is the way to be rescued from death, judgment, and given new birth. How does this work? Well, it's a bit like everything that we say and do being recorded on something like a phone we might use. It records all our conversations, but also our actions. And actually, it's got a special app on it to record even our thoughts, our desires, our hates. Well, this thing is getting in our way. It's all the bad deeds. It's getting between us and God and between us and other people. But Jesus came into the world and he lived a perfect life. And he says, when I die on the cross, I can take this on me. I can die in your place and take this stuff away if you will trust in me. If you will trust in me as your Lord and Savior. You can receive a new start. It's as if this stuff has been dealt with and completely gone away. It's amazing good news, an amazing offer of a swap. You must be born again by trusting God's Son. How do we know it's true? Jesus says so, and he's from heaven. He's the true teacher, the fulfillment of these promises. Can we accept Jesus' testimony and believe in him? Accept God's rescue at the cross, forgiveness, and a new start as a beloved child of God. How do we enter the kingdom of God? How can you be a renewed child of God? How can we get that new start? How can we get all those mistakes and bad choices wiped away, never to be seen again? You must be born again. And God does it. It's a spiritual work of rebirth, sin dealt with, because God provides the way to deal with judgment, because God gives his Son to be lifted up. If you've not yet put your trust in Jesus, maybe you've heard stories of him, maybe you've even seen God at work, it's making some sense. You still need to take the step, putting your trust in Jesus for salvation, looking to him on the cross, because you know you need help. In the Lent course coming up over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what Jesus does on the cross in more depth and applying it to our lives. Please think about joining us Monday evening or Thursday afternoon or whenever you can do. Start in that question box. Any questions, bring them forward. Let's go at them. And there'll be another basic Christianity course probably starting after Easter. We're just coming to the end of Christianity Explored now. Or ask a Christian friend and keep coming to church as we all explore together more of what it means to follow Jesus. And if you do already follow Jesus this morning, see again our wonderful Saviour, raised up, that all may turn to him, and pray that God would work the miracle of rebirth in more hearts for his glory.